Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. As we continue here, the apostle writing to this church at Ephesus, there, that gateway from the west, going towards the east and to Asia Minor, this church that is there, Gentiles have been saved by the Lord. This mystery of Christ has been revealed of the Lord to them also, and their fellow heirs with the Jews. We are. And in verse number 7, we pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3. The apostle is going to speak here about this gift given to him, okay? We're going to see in chapter 4 how it is the gifts that the Lord has given to the church, churches and the leadership of the church. But here he speaks about the gift that has been given him, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God indeed, but the service that the Lord calls us unto, and the Lord placing us in his church, and the work and the ministry that the Lord wants you to do, Brother Jim, I'm not called to preach. You're not off the hook. You've got a place to serve. There's something in this church, an Olmsted Baptist Church, I'm not talking about this building, it might involve this building, but there's something in this church that the Lord wants you to do, amongst this church that the Lord wants you to do, a part that he wants you to have, and you need to be about finding that. And if you are looking for a job, And want a job, come see me. I've got some, okay, and I'll give you some choices, okay, about what you could do. We'll find out what you can do and maybe how you can help out with the ministry here. But there's works to be done. And here the apostle speaks of, he says, whereof this mystery, mystery and this imparting of the gospel and this mystery of Christ that has been concealed and now revealed in the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building of his church. He says, whereof I was made a minister unto the according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And we know how the Lord visited Saul and taking the word that maybe he heard preached by the Lord's people and pricking his heart. The Lord reminding him of that on the road to Damascus. He says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's the pricking of the Word of God. And if the Word of God's pricking you in some way, yield to it. Repent of it. Get lined up with the Lord and what the Lord is telling you in that. He says, this mystery and this delivering of the gospel, he says, that's been a gift given by God to me that I could be used this way. He says, it's given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Lord, the Apostle Paul says there, or Saul says there on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? And that's each and every one of us should be asking that of the Lord. If you got a talent, use it for the Lord. Don't take it and hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't keep it to yourself, but stand up and say, I want to use this talent that God's given me for his service. Because the time of service is passing. It's ticking off. It's going away. An opportunity is ticking off and going away. And the Lord has given you a talent to use it in the church. He says, I've been given. This is a blessing from God. This is a gift given unto me by the effectual working of his power in me. I've been blessed that I've been given this gift. A gift? A gift that going into cities and preaching to sinners and stirring them up about their pagan heathen worship of what they called gods and getting beat over it? That's a gift? Yeah, it's a gift. Hey, being shipwrecked for the sake of souls? You know, think about our brethren that go out and go into those regions where Christ is not named. I mean, they've been given a gift of God to do that. That has a connection with eternity, folks. Our jobs, the secular jobs that we work, the Lord, they're a blessing of the Lord. And they're his provision for us. But do they have an eternal connection? Well, if we live and work in those jobs where we're a blessing and a witness of God in it, our witness has an eternal connection, but the work itself doesn't. We can do it for the honor and glory of God, yes. But when I worked on machines, there won't be nothing said about that in eternity. But when I was blessed to be able to be a witness to men that I met and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ or in the trial of their life, pray for them and remember them in that, that has an eternal connection, you see? You see what I'm saying? His work that he gives us is a blessing. But it's our service to him are those things that we send on ahead. That's where we're laying up treasure in heaven. And the Lord has given you an ability. He's given you a talent. Use it for him. It's his gift to you. Use it in giving it back to him. He says, in the working of God, this gift given to me, it was by the effectual working of his power. Listen to the Lord speaking to you about it. Because you know what? Again, you've heard me say it before. I want each and every one of you, when you stand before the Lord, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want you to hear. I want you to hear that. I want us to hear that. I want us to hear that together as a church. And here, in the next verse, we see about, yet again, humility. Humility and service. Not about me and I and what I can do. We're challenged personally to serve, and we need to do that, but we need to serve and use that talent that the Lord's given us, the wherewithal that the Lord's given us, not to gain praise from our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to be obedient to the Lord. If I'm doing something, is brother so-and-so watching me so they can make sure they see I'm doing it? Sister so-and-so watching me, make sure they see me doing it? Wrong motivation. Wrong motivation. But know that the Lord's watching. And listen to this. Verse 8, unto me. He said, this gift has been given to me. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Wait a minute. How many of us have been used to pin down the Word of God to His churches? This man was. I haven't been. You haven't been. But you see the attitude that he has about himself? I'm the least, he says. I'm the least. This gift unto me who am less than least of all saints. Least of all saints. He speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's take a look over there quickly. And this is the attitude that we need to have, and this is the attitude that you that are here this afternoon and not saved, this is the attitude that you need to have about yourself. As the apostle writes here to this young preacher and exhorting him and admonishing him to serve the Lord well and to make full proof of the ministry that the Lord called Timothy to. He makes this statement here in chapter 1, verse 15 of 1 Timothy. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's what Jesus said he came to do, right? To call sinners to repentance. Not the righteous. Not those that were okay or thought themselves to be spiritually in fine shape. But to call sinners disobedient against God, to call them to repentance. And here it's reiterated by the apostle to Timothy. It says, a faithful saying that, and worthy of all acceptation, he, Christ, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm the one. I'm the chief sinner. When you lined up all the sinners, I was at the front of the crowd. When you rated them from best to worst, I'm the worst. And you know what? The Scripture's not telling us, the Apostle Paul, he was the chief sinner. No. It's conveying to us an attitude that we need to have about ourselves. You know what? I'm the sinner that has caused me the most trouble. Me. I'm the worst sinner I know. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be there right now. But praise God, he saved me. Praise God, he saved my soul. And Jesus, the Son of God, would die for the likes of me? I wouldn't die for me. knowing what I know about me. But Jesus did. Paul's not the chief sinner. He's the chief sinner that he knows about. But we ought to be the chief sinner that we know about. That whole attitude about pointing to somebody else is worse than me in any respect. Is dangerous, is dangerous ground, and a bad attitude and a lack of humility before the Lord. I'm the sinner that needed saving. I love you, and you that are here and not saved, because the Lord saved me, I now know you need to be saved too. But I'm the worst one. I'm the worst one. And so, it's not a thing where the apostle is looking to climb up on the back of somebody else, but he said, the Lord came to save sinners, and I was at the top of the heap. I was the worst one, and yet he saved me. Back in Ephesians chapter 3, and hold your finger here, we'll be coming back and forth. Unto me, in verse 8, who am less than least of all saints. And in 1 Timothy 5, I'll read this to you. You can turn over there if you want to. The attitude in service needs to be in this, and then the apostle mentions it here to Timothy also. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things that he's been instructed in, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. We need to esteem one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. No particular brother or sister greater on our list than another. Do you have a preference? We shouldn't have preferences. We shouldn't. It shouldn't be. We are fraught naturally with that in us. It is in us to prefer. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not prefer one before another. We should love one another and honor one another equally. We should. Now, I understand in this life that there's ways of thinking and types of personalities and types of work and types of hobbies and things like that that we pursue that gives us more commonality one with another. That happens. But the grace of God in our lives and the Lord having saved us, we should at all cost avoid the cliques. At all cost. And not be partial in any way. Not be partial for any reason. And as it says here in Romans chapter 12, let's take a look over here. Humility and service. As the Lord blessed you with a thing that appears to be greater than another, listen, you wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have it if the Lord hadn't imparted it to us. So we can't take it to ourselves thinking that we're better in one way or another. But if the Lord has blessed us with any kind of an advantage, we ought to take it and use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Amen. To help our brothers and sisters in Christ and to be a witness to those around us. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let's back up. Verse number 6. Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, different gifts, different callings, different talent given by the Lord, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't fake it. A brother shared a point with me, and I haven't studied it out to be the case for myself, and so I give you that point there to hold. But I trust this brother, and so I'm going to go ahead and tell you about what he said he's discovered. That word dissimulation there, the Greek word for that, it comes from taking pottery back in the day of the scriptures and taking pottery that was defective, that would maybe be cracked, It was compromised in the process of making it, and it would be flawed. It wouldn't hold liquid indefinitely. It would leak out of it. And so what was done by a potter that was honest, he would take it and destroy it. But in time, there came crooks. And what they would do is they'd take wax, and they would wax up those cracks, make them look all nice and slick, and they'd hold water for a while, or till you heated them up. That waxing of that pottery to seal up those cracks is as he understood from this word, dissimulation. And so in time it came to be that potters that wanted it to be known that they weren't running they weren't trying to rook people and selling their junk pottery, as they'd put a stamp on it that says no wax. No wax used. And now you know from pottery that we have even today that there's always a stamp on it that tells who made it or the type that it is or whatever. Let love be without being waxed over, folks. Make it be real. Not faked. Not feigned. But let it be from the heart. Because, see, the Lord knows if I offer words of love from my lips, but it's not in my heart, I'm a hypocrite before God. And the Lord knows if I'm being partial between my brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord knows it from what's happening on the inside. And whether I fake you out or not, before the Lord, I'm not faking Him out, am I? Let love be without dissimulation. Serve the Lord in what He's given you to serve Him in. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave. Hang on to it tight to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Love one another and prefer one another. You go first. You need to speak, you speak first. I'll speak last. However you can prefer one another, do so. Prefer one another. Brother, sister, you go first. You be first. You speak first. You say first. Let me help you. Let me assist you. Back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. This one that is the less of the least of all saints, he brings it down to the least, and he says, I'm even lesser than that. This saint was used to write the majority of the instruction of the Lord to his churches. And the thing is he is not self-abasing himself so that others will take note and be wowed by his self-abasement. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm just nothing, everything. I'm just nothing, nothing, nothing. But inside thinking, I'm something, something, something. But he humbled himself and meant it from the inside out. See that? Because remember, we stand before God. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, not a burden to be dreaded and borne, but his attitude is that of a privilege. That's where the Scripture speaks to us, brothers and sisters, about liberty. We've been given liberty to serve the Lord. Freedom to serve the Lord. I was bound in wickedness and sin and the chains thereof, and I could not serve God. But when the Lord saved me, I've been let free to where I can serve God. I should be happy about it and joyous about it. He said, this grace has been given, this is given to me, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be a preacher to the Gentiles. God has granted me a gift. Not burden me with an obligation. Although the apostle says that he was bound to do this. It was a responsibility given to him by the Lord, but rather than bear under the load of it and thinking of God as a taskmaster, he praised God that he was given the blessing to be used of God to do it. You see that? Unto me, who am less and least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 11, take a look over here. It's reiterated in Romans, and maybe we'll take a look over there. But I want you to see something here. And how much of the Scripture could we maybe take? And I know the Apostle Paul was called of the Lord to be an apostle. But I want you to think about this point. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Turn over here to Romans chapter 15. Here the Apostle Paul reiterates or quotes this verse, or uses it, if you will, what I just read there in Isaiah 11. In Romans 15, verse 12, "And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, to him, in him shall the Gentiles trust." That was prophesied, that would happen. And you know what the Apostle Paul has been blessed to see and has been blessed of the Lord to be used? That prophecy was about him. His name's not mentioned. But who did the Lord call of the Jews to be a minister and a witness to the Gentiles? Saul of Tarsus. What did the Lord tell Ananias? He said, "I've got something for him to do." But Lord, don't you know? He gets letters from Jerusalem and comes and persecutes and kills us and drags what's ever left back to Jerusalem. Don't you know that that's him? Lord says, "I know all about him. Go down there and preach to him. Go down there and lay your hands on him. Go back down there. I'll use you laying your hands on him to give him the sight back, and I'm going to send him to the Gentiles." That passage in Isaiah is talking about the Lord's work amongst the Gentiles and that he would use a man, the Apostle Paul, greatly to accomplish what the Lord promised. Do you and I think about us, Olmsted Baptist Church, being in the Scriptures? Well, Olmsted Baptist Church isn't listed in the Scriptures. But the work that the Lord has commissioned to be done by His churches, it's speaking about us doing it right here. May God help us that we not disassociate ourselves from that. We have been given a great gift, brothers and sisters, to minister and serve the Lord here. This isn't about you and me. This is about you and me being used of God to do what He wants here. May God help us to get and to keep the priorities straight. Amen. And in that, it's been prophesied in the Scriptures about what's happening here. Amen. This is part of the work of the Lord's church in this place that He told about what He would do and gave us instruction for. We've been given a gift. Is your salvation and your service in the church a burden? I'm not talking about a burden from the Lord that you need to fulfill it and pursue the Lord, because there is that sense that a burden is that way. The Lord moves upon us and presses upon us through His Word and through the Spirit of God that we've got to do this. This is what I'm not talking about, that kind of burden. I'm talking about being shouldered down. I'm talking about that heavy yoke that the Lord said that He's relieved us from. He says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Said God gave that to me. God, in what He prophesied about taking the Word to the Gentiles, He used me. And He's using you and me to do that here. To all. Not so much to the Gentiles. Although our ministry is amongst the Gentiles for the most part, isn't it? Yeah. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He said, my ministry is to tell men about it, that they might see that there might be fellowship with their great God, Creator, and King. That they might see, that they can be restored to fellowship with their Creator through His Son. That they might see that they can have forgiveness of their sins and everlasting life by the provision of God. That they might see that. That they might enjoy that fellowship. Verse 10, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's you and me. There's you and me in the church. That the Lord would take His church and use it to make the mystery known amongst the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't that great? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a privilege? We could yet still be wandering around in the world, bound in chains of darkness, and not have a clue that any of this was going on. But instead, the Lord has saved us and brought us and put us in His church to do this work. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's a connection with eternity. He goes on to say, and we'll close at this time, and we want to spend the right amount of time on these verses, but let's read them. Let's back up to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers, in heavenly places, might be made known by the church, it may be made known to those principalities and powers, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. There's a lot there. There's just a lot there. If you take each one of those pieces, He takes them and He builds and He builds and He builds. He tells more and more and more what He's done. More and more and more how He's using the apostle and how He's using the church. When we read that, we can just read over it and say, boy, yeah, that's good. But I want us to take it and break it down that we might see what each of those pieces mean. The church, the Lord is using the church, that the authority of this earth, that it might be proclaimed in this weak way, but yet very powerful way, what the mystery of salvation, the creation, and the plan of God from the beginning is, that He would save His people. that he saves sinners, and that he has his church to declare that to the world. Do you know the verse at the end of this chapter that we're looking at? I challenge you to take a look at it if you don't. It's a summing up of what's being said in the chapter. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to look it up. Okay? But that's how the Lord has used the apostle to bring it to the Gentiles and using his church to bring it to the world. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. You need the same Savior that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me that day because I was the sinner that needed saving. And he died and was buried, and he rose again from the dead for me. For those of you that are here and saved, he did that for you, didn't he? You know that. It's been revealed to you that he did. He showed you that. You that are not saved, we pray that you would see Christ precious to the salvation of your soul, that you not discount it, that you not say it means nothing, that you trample down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and discount it in your heart and your mind and say it's not so. Say you don't need it. Oh, may God break your old, cold, stony heart and show you your great need, and that you'd repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or believe the gospel for your sin and for your soul. May the Lord help us as his people to find that place of service in his church. Amen. He's got it for us. The body is fitly joined together. The Lord just doesn't build and then take a few pieces and pitch them up on top. But he takes every piece and puts it together. Find that place. Find that work that you can do. And serve the Lord well. And know that here in this body, this, the service that we do for the Lord and unto the Lord, and this is going to go right on out into eternity, folks. Everything of this earth is going to burn up. But our service to the Lord is what we send ahead and what gives us a connection, and we'll be there in eternity. You'll be represented there in eternity. Oh.